Hear that? Up there in that tree? Oh, yeah.
Tweet, tweet.
It's me and all my homies love native manu, and it's about to start.
Yes, no mai, hoki mai tiwi. This is me and all my homies love native manu, and this week we are talking about the waro, the welcome swallow. And here to talk with me, as always, is my homie. I honestly think my new best friend. My icon and legend, Pete Tonda. Welcome to the studio again, Pete.
Yeah, morena, Liv. Good to be here.
Yeah, good to have you back, bro. So, itirane, we're talking about the waro, the welcome swallow. Can you tell us about the classification of this bird, please?
Yes, indeed. And yeah, I chose this manu, and you'll find out why soon.
the suspense.
They're native, right. But they're not endemic. So yep. they came from across the ditch in Australia. Yep. And they're called welcome swallows in Australia because of their arrival in southern Australia and their seasonal migration.
Yes.
And it sort of heralds the arrival of spring and sort of new beginnings.
So were they kind of migrating across Australia?
Yeah. So in there's a lot of swallow species around the world, and a lot of them have seasonal migrations.
Aye.
But in Aotearoa, they don't really migrate. Just maybe a few of them a little bit.
Yeah.
In the South Island, they might go from a cold area to a slightly warmer area, but basically the resident manu.
Yeah. So they came, when did they come to Aotearoa from Aussie?
Yeah, about mid-20th century.
Yeah.
And they've spread quite rapidly around the motu.
Yeah.
And they first bred in Awanui in the far north.
Yeah.
And then spread from there. And the bird watchers closely followed their migration.
Mm.
And there's this guy, Barry Heather.
He sounds like a bloody legend.
He reported on their arrival at the top of Te Waipounamu in 1956.
Yeah.
With the hard case title, Welcome Swallow at Farewell Spit.
Oh, God, he's a bit of a punster, isn't he?
Shout out. That was very clever.
Yes, I like that a lot. And so, yeah, as you're saying, there's many types of swallows around the globe, but it's a very common bird.
Yeah, and there's a couple of other related birds in Aotearoa, swifts and martins, but they tend to be vagrant species, which means they just come occasionally.
Okay.
They come and visit, and then they seem to disappear, and they just come occasionally.
Okay, so they're not coming like every year to breed here or anything.
No.
Okay. And because of the later arrival to Aotearoa, we couldn't really find any whakatauki connected to this manu. But did you have anything more to say on that, Pete? Yeah,
I think it's just a general thing about whakatauki. A lot of the references to manu were related to birds that sort of were used for kai.
Aye.
Like the kereru and the titi.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of stuff about that. And also some of the manu that have been here a long time and represent, you know, important things for Māori, like the kahu often is referenced as a leadership type bird, and the ruru with its relationship with the spirit world. So there's a combination of kai-based sort of whakatauki and then other manu that have some significance in terms of...
Yeah, in te ao Māori.
Yeah.
And obviously this bird is still significant to te taiao and our ecosystems, and we're not trying to say that it's not, but we just couldn't find anything on that this week. But overseas, they still hold a lot of cultural importance for a lot of different countries and cultures.
Yeah. And often it represents like hope, love, loyalty, Safe Return, Arrival of Spring.
Yep.
Swallow's very big in Portugal. They've got lots of imagery and lots of art around that. So that's and then
do
in Chinese.
Do we know why that is? Just there's lots of vulcan swallows there.
I don't know. It just seems to have got into their culture.
And, I love that.
And they celebrate it. So
awesome.
Good on them. And then in Chinese
Portugal,
culture.
Portugal, if you're listening, good on you.
Yeah, absolutely. And then in Chinese culture, it sort of represents good fortune and family harmony.
Yes, and you've got a theory. Do you want to share that with everybody?
I believe it's the most tattooed bird in the world. I have no empirical evidence for that, but I have a strong belief that that is true.
You've seen people with the swallow?
Lots of people with swallows tattooed on their shoulders, on their ankles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
BFM listeners, if you're listening, we're talking about the Wado, the welcome swallow. If you have a swallow tattooed on your body, please text in because we're collecting empirical evidence for Pete to back up this claim.
Yeah, prove me wrong if you can.
Yeah. So, Pete, I wanted to know, why did you choose this manu today, the Wado?
Yeah. Well, like the Taranui.
I had
become a bit smitten with these little manu as well.
Yeah.
And the reason is that, and hey, I often mention Port Waikato. Family's had a batch there for 35 years, and all that time I've been praying for the Wado to come and nest on our little batch. And last year, a young pair came in and they built a nest right above our entrance door.
Wow.
Raised three chicks.
Yeah.
And then over winter, there was a big storm and it blew the nest out.
Yeah.
But they've come back. They've come back about 4 weeks ago and they've rebuilt the nest amazingly. And they're just so industrious. They work so hard.
Yeah, they do.
And then they've grown to trust me. And when they have a little break, a little smoko break, they land on our deck furniture and I've got the sort of doors open and I'm sitting there about 2.5 metres.
Yeah.
And we have a corridor.
Oh, because that's so cool.
No, we do. We do because we've got things to sort out. So
absolutely. What are you guys talking about?
Well, we talk about flight paths.
Yep.
And we talk about rights of way.
Yep.
And then we also talk about things like curtain protocol. On the windows that face out onto the nest, so, you know.
You've got to close those ones.
We've got to close those ones during breeding season.
I love that.
And so, they're very, very chatty. So we've had lots of corridor.
Yeah.
It's a bit of lost in translation, but I think we've got it all sorted now.
Yes, and Pete, you actually sent me a really beautiful video the other day of you talking to the swallows, and it honestly, like, it calmed me down in a way that no one has ever calmed me down before. So,
it's beautiful.
It's beautiful to hear you talk to them. So they're quite, hardworking, chatty, gorgeous, sleek.
So gorgeous, yes.
What do they look like, Pete?
Well, they're small manu, and most of you will know what they look like. They're about 14 to 16 centimetres long, very light. There's no weight in them. They're only 9 to 20 grams. I had one crash into a window a few years back, and I thought it had broken its neck. And I got this little manu, and I held it in my hand for about 10 minutes. And then it woke up, and it sort of looked around a bit dazed and then looked at me, and then it just was gone.
Wow.
And I expected it.
It's beautiful that you held it.
I thought it would come back.
Yeah.
And it didn't.
Sucks to be you, bro.
Anyway, they have this beautiful iridescent dark blue-black over the head, the back and the wings. They've got this lovely reddy-brown on the forehead and around the neck.
Yeah.
And then they're sort of like creamy white underbelly, and under the wings is a mixture of white, cream and darker black.
They're really beautifully coloured.
Oh, so nice.
Yeah.
And then they've got these deeply forked tails and these very beautiful pointed wings.
Yeah.
Amazing flyers.
Yeah.
Yeah, they just swish around, and that's how they catch their food, on the wing. So they
on the wing?
Yeah.
So they put their wing into the water? Is that
no,
what you mean?
No. On the, I mean when they're flying.
Oh, okay, catch, that means on the
catch,
wing.
Yeah, they catch their kai when they're flying.
Okay, I'm learning
anyway,
with all you
it's
guys
all good,
as well.
It's all good.
And where do we find them in New Zealand, Petey?
They're sort of all, they've spread all through Aotearoa,
yeah.
Except Fiordland.
Mm.
And that would be because Fiordland's just dense bush.
Yeah, and they don't
And they
like,
don't tend to yeah. inhabit densely forested bush. They like
nah.
more open areas and scrubby areas and a lot of water-based
so
sort
your,
of
areas. So rivers, lakes,
yep. Yep.
et cetera.
And they don't go into the alpine areas.
Yeah, they don't
but
like that either.
Yeah, they like to gather in big groups, very social manu.
What do you think they're all doing together? Do you think they're like line dancing or like...
Oh, I think they're just chatting. I think they're...
Just shooting the shit.
Yeah, yeah,
like
yeah.
you and me. Awesome. Yeah. So, yeah, as you're saying, feed mostly on the wing.
Yeah.
What are they eating?
They catch flying insects predominantly.
Oh, okay.
So they'd be mosquitoes or sandflies or little fruit flies.
Yeah,
anything
yeah.
that's flying around. And when you watch them... flying, you don't know they're catching it, but they're catching these little insects, but they're just zooming around and swishing and turning they've got incredible vision and dexterity
yeah.
to get these tiny little bugs
That's
that are flying
thinking.
Around.
I'm like, that must be so freaking hard. And then I also saw a photo of one. They fly over water, open their mouth and drink water as they're flying over the
yeah,
water.
Yeah, it's cool.
That's so cool.
Yeah, and then they can pick little, like, mosquito larvae out of water as well.
Yes.
So any little bugs that are on the water, they can just go and pick them off.
Yeah.
Swoop down.
Swoop down. I
have
love
a little
that.
Snack.
Maybe that's what we should do this summer as well. So breeding, we've talked about, they build these beautiful mud nests, which if you haven't seen Etsy, we should go and have a look at them online.
Yeah.
They're made out of mud and water, essentially,
yeah.
and spit.
And all that.
And then they're lined with feathers and grasses.
Yeah.
To make it nice
and
they, cozy.
It takes a long time. You imagine how small these little beaks are, the waro. And then they go, you see them, and they've got their beaks full of this mud, and then they go up and they just kind of push it
That's
onto the nest.
Actually
and,
crazy, isn't it?
To yeah, like, how did they figure out how to do that?
Yeah, to be like, they're such a tiny bird, and then the nest they're building are very like...
They're well constructed.
Well constructed, but, and they're big as well.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I'm like, it takes a long time. And in the nest, well, yeah, they can raise up to 3 broods between August and February.
In the season, yeah.
Which is, you know, they're busy, man.
That's hard work.
They don't
hard
fuck yakka, around.
Hard yakka manu.
Yeah.
And the 3 to 5 eggs, they're sort of pinkish with brown speckles. Takes about 15 days to hatch. Both parents feed the young. And they fledge really quickly at about 18 days. And you compare that to the titi. We talked about, which is like 86 to 106 days. That's really fast turnaround. That's why they
quick,
can get you know three families
True.
in a season.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. And the other
That's
thing
incredible.
I researched because
yeah,
what was happening when these two little manu were building this nest? There was a third waru that
a
came.
A thruple. There's a thruple.
and it just, every couple of days, it came round and it'd be flying into around the nest area and hanging out with
wow.
them. And I thought, is this one of the offspring from last year? But then I read that often they'll get helpers.
Aww.
They're like single, unpaired waru that say, I want a piece of this.
Yeah.
And they go and help build a nest, and they can even go and help feed the chicks. How cool is that?
That's very beautiful and
yeah.
like kind of a metaphor for like community care,
exactly.
eh? And taking care of each
exactly.
other outside of nuclear family dynamics and
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah.
And lastly, Pete, any threats to these birds? I know that there's a pretty large population. They're not threatened in any way, but is there still any threats?
There's not a lot of threats because they fly fast, they feed when they're flying or they often perch on power lines and safe places. They thrive around buildings and bridges and structures. They love to nest in structures that we build.
Yeah.
But I think the biggest threat is probably people who don't like the mess of having a waru nest on under their eave or something, because they'd have to do their business. But you can, you just clean it up.
Yeah.
Or you just scrape it up and you put it on the garden, grows good veggies. So you just, or you can put like a piece of plywood underneath or something. And I've seen people do that.
Yeah.
And so, I think they're a blessing.
Yeah.
They're just so lovely to have around.
Like how special that when you go to Port Waikato now you can see that nest on the house. Yeah.
They'll be the manu will be laying the would have laid the eggs by now.
Aye.
And I'm gonna go down in a week's time and might see some chicks.
Awesome. I'm so excited. You have to keep me updated on that.
I'd sneak a few little photos when they're out getting food, but I've got to get in and out pretty quick because otherwise I'm breaking the rules.
Yeah, okay, the tikanga that you guys have adhered to. And awesome, Pete, this has been, I love learning about the Wado, the welcome swallow, and you've got a song to play. Can you please talk to that?
Yeah, song by Blam Blam Blam, There's No Depression in New Zealand. Great song, but I guess my message, if you're not feeling that great, go out into nature. Mm. Start watching our beautiful manu, like the waru. It's good for your mental health.
It bloody is, isn't it, Petey? Thanks, Pete, for coming in.
All right.
See you next week. Matua.
Oh,
Isn't that beautiful?
That was Me and All My Homies Love Native Manu, only on 95 BFM.